Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Nowadays, one doesn't have to look into the education issue long before coming across the term social-emotional learning, or SEL. It sounds benign enough, and kids definitely need help in learning. Just look at the declining test scores. How many parents or even school board members know what SEL is? Is it really just a new teaching method in a long line of teaching methods, or is it much more? And are our kids once again being used as guinea pigs and yet another social experiment? My guest today is Diane Stover. She's the State Director for Protect Ohio Children Coalition. Thanks, Diane, for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm glad you spell your name correctly with one N, just like I do. So, let's just start with, what is the Protect Ohio Children Coalition?
Protect Ohio Children Coalition was started in 2017 to find out what curriculum was actually in Ohio schools with regards to comprehensive sex education curriculum that we know comes from Planned Parenthood and their allies. And it has really, especially with the time during the pandemic, it's grown from not just focusing on CSE, but also on critical race theory, which is CRT, and social-emotional learning, SEL.
Yeah.
And we have a very robust website with a heat map that we have over 200 school districts of the 612 in Ohio where whistleblowers have provided anonymous tips and also our open records requests that we've done. And it shows for the parents and the taxpayers what they can find and know is in their schools from, you know, the CRT, CSE, and SEL.
So you have over 600 school districts. We only have 500. But you guys have over 600.
How 612.
612. How successful, or has there been much pushback when you've sent those open records requests?
Well, we started in 2017 by doing the open records request. We knew that comprehensive sex ed was in our schools in Ohio, but we didn't know to what magnitude. And so we started with about 15 to 20, and it was a mixed bag. In some cases, they didn't respond. But in other cases, we found out quite a bit. And from that, we put together a 200-page report that we delivered. We took a box of reports to the legislature, the governor, the Speaker of the House, the Senate President, and the Ohio Attorney General, showing them the pornographic material that we found through open records requests. And from there, in 2019, we started this process of having anonymous tips coming into our mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep everything anonymous as far as where it's coming from, but it has proven to be quite a great tool to, to make people aware of what's in their specific school district.
Right. That's for whistleblowers from school districts, mostly, or parents, as far as the anonymous tip line?
The anonymous tip mailbox, it's parents, activists who are fighting the indoctrination in the schools, regular citizens.
Okay.
And we vet it. We vet the information. And we've never had anyone from the other side or any school district come to us and, you know, say cease and desist, because they can see that it's legitimate information that we're putting on our website.
Yeah. So you like created a separate email address? Is that how you did that?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
It's tips at protectohiochildren.net.
Okay, so let's go back to SEL. So is SEL just another form of character education? Is it a character education format?
I think that in some very few cases, there is character training out there under the name of SEL. But what we're talking about is actually more insidious than comprehensive sex ed or critical race theory.
Did you say more insidious than?
More insidious than that, because it's actually what they call, and it's provided by an organization called the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning. CASEL is the acronym. And they also, it has morphed into, it started with what you described, Diane, and it has morphed into this, what they call transformative SEL, and it's a framework. It's the whole child framework. This is where the government now is God. Mm. And this is how they're going to be the ones that will determine what children are taught. And the reason in Ohio that we have become very familiar with SEL is because in 2019, our Republican governor and senators made this one of the core pillars of education in Ohio. So it has grown into something that has been, it's a back door to all the things that we're fighting mm-hmm. about Planned Parenthood. They're getting it into every course through the SEL framework.
So rather than call it like sex ed or comprehensive sex ed, they're just calling it SEL, and that impacts every, or they're trying to impact every aspect of the child, like the whole child education type thing.
That's exactly correct. Okay. But, and you may have seen that we had some company Accuracy in Media did some undercover videos, and you know this SEL framework undermines parental rights. And they showed the video of the man that was, it's been in national news, this director of diversity, equity, and inclusion. He said, well, there's more than one way to skin the cat. And if we just, you know, if we would say one word that the parents don't like, then we would just have to trick them.
Change language.
And this, yeah, it was on undercover video. And wow. So we've had a few of those undercover videos in Ohio for different school districts, and people have seen exactly what they're doing, is that they're sneaking this stuff in through the SEL.
Yeah. Okay, so they're sneaking in the comprehensive sex ed and the critical race theory in SELs.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, because the left never gives up, that's for sure. If there's a roadblock put up in front of them, they will find some way to get around that roadblock or to climb over the roadblock or whatever, and it's simply changing language, changing
that's
their
right.
tactic, but they don't give up.
And the thing about this SEL curriculum being in every course, it's mostly a digital curriculum. Mm. And, you know, it used to be when parents, and in Ohio, we really have the law is on our side with regards to parents knowing what their children are being taught. Mm-hmm. Our Ohio Revised Code states that a parent, upon request, can see anything their child's being taught. But that typically in the past has been a textbook,
right.
a video, a handout. But now what they've done is they've put this curriculum online in a digital format, and it's kind of like a shell game. What mm-hmm. they put up today may not be the same thing they put up tomorrow. It's kind of like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall sometimes.
Doesn't work too well. And again, one of their tactics is that just to make it extremely difficult for parents to find out what their kids are being taught, and parents just throw up their arms in frustration and just... Now, too many do. I mean, some don't. Some just pull their kids out of public school, or some continue fighting, but it's a very difficult fight, and it's hard to stick with it if you see you're sticking Jell-O to a wall, which there's no way that would happen successfully. But with a coalition like you have, it helps know there's other folks out there who are working on the same issue and that you're not alone. That in itself is encouraging, just to know that you're part of a greater body of folks who are concerned about what's going on in public schools. So
yes.
You're saying SEL is covering everything. It's in every subject. It includes comprehensive sex ed. It includes critical race theory. And, you know, as President Biden said, though, you know, the children aren't your own. Talking to parents, it's everyone's, every child is everyone's child. So that's a bad paraphrase. But basically it's, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, which is what Clinton said decades ago.
Exactly. And in the case of SEL, they're actually causing a division between parents and their children. They're hiding information. And we have evidence from whistleblowers in Ohio, actual emails coming from a principal to all the teachers in the district if a child comes in and tells the teacher, their peer, you know, their classmate, that they want to change their pronouns, the email said, do not tell the parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because they consider them an unsafe person, that they will not help to transition these children where, you know, where they feel
it won't
would be appropriate.
Yeah, the parent would not affirm the child. So you said a Republican governor is the one who basically gave the okay for SEL. Did he understand what it was? Probably not. How many people do understand what it is?
Well, I'm not going to try to read his mind, but our so-called Republican governor has not done anything really to help with this mm-hmm. issue. We did last week, fortunately, finally, praise God, there were three bills that passed in the Ohio House. And really, where we're concerned about whether they will be actually made into law is in the governor's office. Mm-hmm. We are hoping that he will sign these bills once they get through the Senate. But that's around the gender dysphoria and the surgeries, mm-hmm. the Save Women's Sports.
Yeah.
And then also a Parents' Bill of Rights law was passed in the House.
So
we're hopeful, but with other things that are happening in the state, it's very unclear to any of us right now where we're going to end up with all of this mm-hmm. at the end of the year.
That's not good. Unfortunately, we once again have a Democrat governor, and the Democrats took over the state House by, I think they have like a one vote majority. But
oh, my.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a whole fiasco right there. Or from what, some of the stuff I've read, this SEL also contains some spirituality or mindfulness.
Yes, that's part of it.
Yeah,
there are components to this that tie in with Eastern religions, yoga, meditation, mindfulness, very much a part of what they are infusing into this curriculum. Maybe one of the things that in your audience might be aware of is the whole ESG, environmental mm-hmm. social governance, that we're hearing about, social scoring. This dovetails right into that, where children will actually, based on the massive data collection that is done with this framework, is they'll be categorized into, for lack of a better word, how woke are these kids? Wow. Are they buying into all of this DEI and environment, climate, and all of that? And the more that they affirm all of those things, the higher their EQ score will be. So the schools are now, rather than focusing on a child's IQ and their academic, now they're into this whole emotional intelligence. And it all ties right in with this whole area of, you know, building a workforce
mm-hmm.
that is, you know, environmentally, socially governed with
right.
those ESG scores.
So the EQ, that's emotional, is what the E stands for, an EQ score?
EQ stands for emotional intelligence.
Instead of IQ, it's EQ. Emotional intelligence. Yeah, interesting you brought up the workforce. I found it most interesting that the World Economic Forum is involved in this also. Go ahead.
This Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, CASEL is the acronym,
mm-hmm.
and you can go to their website. And it is that whole cabal of the global Bill Gates Foundation, Warren Buffett, Zuckerberg. It's that whole globalism. You know, they formed this organization that brought in this whole child framework.
Mm-hmm. That's scary stuff. The World Economic Forum actually, back in March 2016, wrote a 36-page paper entitled New Vision for Education, Fostering Social and Emotional Learning Through Technology. And I flipped through there just, you know, but on page 14, under the heading Expand the Realm of the Possible, it goes into talking about ways that they can, I'll read it, a third promising area of opportunity taps into leading-edge technologies to help students develop social and emotional skills in new ways. Then it gives five innovative technologies. But one that jumped out at me was wearable devices. This one really caught my attention. Its accompanying app helps caregivers set goals and meet challenges such as achieving a certain amount of engaging conversation per day. They can check the app to monitor whether they are successfully helping children reach their full social and emotional potential. It also can provide a minute-by-minute record of someone's emotional state, potentially helping to build self-awareness and even empathy, both of which are critical components of social-emotional skills.
Yeah.
So this basically also has become a big moneymaker for the technology industry.
Absolutely. It's all about the money all the time.
And that's...
The other thing that just blows my mind is our governor has funded and implemented over 150 school-based health clinics in Ohio.
Oh, wow.
So what that means, and if a person would go to our website and click on our heat map and you go to the city of Westerville City Schools, you can see a diagram that shows a school-based digital health platform. And the way this works, Diane, is parent signs a form, and that school-based health clinic becomes the child's primary care location, and they can just go right down the hall to their health clinic, and you can use your imagination as to what happens in these health clinics, in these schools.
So when the parents...
And they're online with their doctor.
So the parent basically signs over their child to the school health clinic.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
They're even doing dental work in some of these health clinics.
Well, actually, there's some in Pennsylvania that's done that type thing, too. I don't know if it's to the extent that Ohio has, but yeah, in the cases in PA, I'm not sure there was any parental consent. I'm not sure. There have been things happen in some of those health clinics, which to me, an in-school health clinic is bad news, period, because the parent's not there.
Right, and we're trying to find out, you know, what kind of regulations do these clinics have?
Mm.
I mean, they'll slap a hospital's name on it that gives it some credibility, but what we're finding is that they've got unqualified, you know, counselors and teachers that are posing as psychologists in some of these clinics.
Oh, my goodness.
They're not qualified to be making these mental health decisions for these children.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Philadelphia just, I think it was last year, their school board voted to hire, I can't remember the number, 30 or 40 new counselors for their school district. And this is going right along with this SEL stuff, this whole social-emotional learning, because they're putting more than likely unqualified counselors. I mean, just because you're hired as a counselor doesn't mean you have the qualifications to do it, even as you're saying. Yep, Philadelphia has the board passed that they would be hiring more counselors. But it's not getting to the root of the problem. It's not dealing with the problem of what are the underlying issues with this child. Basically, a lot of times it's the school district itself's the underlying issue and the stuff they're pushing on the kids. So as we're looking at this, no wonder the kids' scores are so low because they're indoctrinating them. They're trying to basically turn them into mind-numbed robots, as Rush Limbaugh would say. Is there anything parents can do? I mean, here locally, a school board just voted in SEL, and the school board members really had no idea what it is, but it sounds good. Superintendent says it's good, so let's do it. And that's not good.
Well, there's a lot of work that needs to be done at the legislature level, but on a local level, this is where the parents have the power, but they have to get out and get involved.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be aware. And, you know, unfortunately, the pandemic, it has silenced a lot of the churches. It has silenced a lot of people who do not want to be portrayed as bigots and this kind of thing. First of all, with this going on, parents need to pull their kids out of these schools that have all of this.
Yep.
But where they're saying that it's impossible for them to do that, they're going to have to be extremely involved in knowing what's going on. And, you know, what we have seen in the model that we use for Protect Ohio Children is that we're here to help, but we can't manage all these 612 districts. But the model that really works well is when a community group forms, and we've got some that have actually formed 501c3s for their school district, and they are parent activists, and they are asking the questions. They're doing, you know, the hard work of the open records requests, and some of them are losing their minds because they feel so frustrated that they can't get things done because the whole board has bought into this, and that's very, very common. So in many cases, what we have found is that we're at an impasse with these districts. The only thing now that we can do is to throw the radicals out at the school board level in the election.
Yeah.
And so this is the year that we're really putting a big push for, you know, running conservative school board candidates And we're hoping to be successful in large numbers mm-hmm. in our local school district.
Yeah, that's taking place here in Pennsylvania, and I think probably every state in the union, except maybe California and New York. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of states. The parents, the taxpayers are fed up with what they see happening in their school districts, and they're running conservative candidates to kick out the woke crowd, so to speak. So, wow.
Yeah, because you can't reason with them. Yeah,
they are brainwashed. And you can't reason with them. They have, you know, they can't be convinced otherwise of what they, you know, what they think. I think another reason that parents have become more quiet is, you know, they've been labeled domestic terrorists by the DOJ.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That has caused some to be more quiet than what they had been before. But that's exactly what the left wants. They want silence from the conservative parents so they can do what they want to with their kids. In reality, it would be much easier for the parents to pull their kids out and homeschool them or send them to a good Christian school than to try to monitor what's going on in the public school. That'd just be really would be easier.
Yep.
Anyway, what's your all's website, and how can folks contact you if they have a question?
ProtectOhioChildren.net, the website. And once you get to the website, you can click on the indoctrination heat map to see all those districts that I was referring to. And if you want to contact us, you can send an email to tips@protectohiochildren.net.
ProtectOhioChildren.net. And then the email is tips@protectohiochildren.net.
Yes.
The anonymous. Okay, great. Fantastic. Well, keep up the good work over there.
Thank you, Diane.
Yeah. All 50 states have major work to do, but I know that you guys have been on the leading edge as far as trying to find out what's taking place in your schools. And that's been encouraging
you.
In itself. So take care, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks, Diane.
Hey,
God bless.
God bless you
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.